had abroad. Greetings. Then he said, my brethren. So that's clear. That was talking to fellow believers, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So whatever we find there, because God permitted this particular letter to be in the Bible, it means it's relevant and will always be relevant, even today. So we're going to see some things there. They look, we should not be mentioning this. Let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, book of James, from verse 1. It says, where do wars, James 4, 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? Give us NLT. NLT, verse 1. It says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? The question. Quarrels, fights amongst us as believers, in church, in our homes. I used to know a place of work. All of them were Christians from different churches. In fact, some of them invited their brethren from their church to come and work. First Bank, head office. Then, they used to have a clinic. At least one of my friends that worked there was invited by a church member to work. But those years, it was always struggles among them, fights, things that probably if they were all unbelievers would not even have happened. This one would try to block that one. Maybe there's a benefit that everybody could access. It's not coming from his pockets, but it will block. She will block. This one, you know, all kinds of things. I got to know all those things through my friends, through my friend that worked there. Since quarrels, fights amongst us, it shouldn't be. If it's supposed to be, James would not have talked about it. So what is causing the quarrels and fights? Backbiting. Two believers cannot stay under one roof. Yes, I know. When we are young believers, just learning to know the Lord, you know, some of the whole things that were part and parcel of our lives, we still want to rear their heads. But as we grow and mature in the Lord, those things should be dropped off. Those things should not be part and parcel of our lives. That we are fighting, you know, and we fight and fight for weeks and months and years. Sometimes you find two people in the same church, but at home, it's all troubles and quarrels going on for years. It should not be. It shouldn't be. It should not be. So he said, what's causing it? And he said, don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? A number of times when we have issues with people, we think they are the problems. He's the one, she's the one, they are the ones. And that's a myopic way of looking at the trouble. A small way. Small, and if you have a small mind, of course, you will always see things in, you know, like that. When you are always pointing fingers to other people as the cause of the fights, the struggle, the quarrels, and there's nothing wrong with you, you need to check yourself. You need to ask yourself some deep questions. Is the Holy Spirit still alive and well in you? Of course, the Holy Spirit will always be alive and well. But is he like that in you? Say they come from evil desires. Evil desires that are at war within us. Some expectations, wrong feelings within us. You know, as I was thinking about this, you know, Saul chased David from pillar to post, from wilderness to the valley. For what? He didn't take his wife. David did not take Saul's wife. He did not kill any of his kids. But what happened? Let's take a look. 1 Samuel chapter 18. God will help us in the name of Jesus. A number of people are looking at us in your family, extended family, in your place of work, in your neighborhood. People are looking at you. People are looking at you. And because you have named the name of Christ, they automatically just think that this Christianity is a scam. They go to church, but we can't see it in their lives. Look at David and Saul in chapter 18. Everybody was happy that Goliath was no longer a problem to the Israelites. Everybody was happy. But something happened in chapter 18. Look at verse 6. He said, now it had happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing. They were just happy doing their own thing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. Next verse. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David is 10,000s. They were just innocently singing. At least the song did not say David killed 10,000. They still mention Saul, at least. They still ascribe some glory, some praise, some achievement to Saul. But that was not enough. Something sprang within him. Next verse. Then Saul was very angry. That was within. It was not outside. He was very angry. And he said, and the saying displeased him. And he said, do you know a lot of things that we fight about? He said this, they said that, they did this, they did that. But people will do whatever they need to do. But how is it making you sad, angry, displeased, envious, jealous? That's where the problem is. Since they have ascribed to David 10,000, they have promoted that junior. We finished in school together. How can he be my boss? Something would. Oh, we came to this city at the same time. We started that business at the same time. How can he prosper more than me? It will occur to us. Can we be real? Hello. Can we be real? If it doesn't occur to you, you are an angel and you should be in heaven. It will occur to you. Oh, that person, when was she born? That person, it will be very obvious and it will occur to you. But like God told Cain, he said, sin lies at your door, but you can conquer it. It will occur to you. Those thoughts, this and that and that. People may even say it. You know, people talk anyhow. Carelessly sometimes we will say. But they are just speaking. Just like these women were just singing and dancing. They didn't know they had caused problems for David that would last for several years. But back to what James was saying. He said, what was causing that? For Saul, it was justice and it was within. But he couldn't come out to say, it's because the women sang go. It's because of the song of the women. That's why I'm angry with you. No. He changed to something else. It was like, yes, he's after my life. He wants to take the whole kingdom. How can? Saul probably would have been maybe in his 50s around this time. And David was just a young boy. an innocent young boy who had never been to war. He was not a soldier. He was not a warrior. It was just that God used him. Used him not for himself, but for the whole nation. That was enough reason for us to rejoice. You know, that's why the Bible says you should rejoice with those that rejoice. When you learn how to rejoice with those who rejoice, devil will not have time to plant wrong seed in your heart about the cause or the reason for that joy or that rejoicing. See, they have ascribed 10,000 to David, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? And devil began to expand. He will take the kingdom. He will kill you, kill your children, kill your... And he believed all that. And that's made him to start chasing. He made attempts to kill. Let's go back to the book of James. James chapter 4. I wanted us to see this. You know, this is not the first time David will experience this. That was not the first time. You know, his brother even hated him. Before he killed Goliath, the brother that saw him anointed, you know, all of them, they brought them anointed. I mean, Samuel stood and said, "It's not this, it's not this, it's not this, it's not that." You know, just because you are not the one does not mean God does not have plan and purpose for your life. No. No. And you know, at the end of the day, all the sons of these men that were not chosen, they were part and parcel of the kingdom of David. When you hear about, what's his name? That one that was the leader of the army that was always fighting for David. Huh? Joab. Joab was one of the children of David's siblings. They became relevant later. But out of envy too, they looked at him. Why did you come to this war? Who sent you? He said, why do wars and fight come from among us? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Verse 2. You lost and you do not have. The lost there means to seek, to desire to have that position. It's interesting. People fight to become Olori Ebi in family. Second born will fight firstborn. Eh? And be saying you and be spiting the firstborn. Why? Just because maybe he or she has some money. And is the interesting part, or no, it's not interesting. The bad part is sometimes we are born again, speaking in tongues. And why? If Olori Ebi that does not have money, and you are the third born that has money, but you speak in tongues. If she says no, you will say yes. Just to cause trouble. Why is she the firstborn? And she caused herself to be firstborn. No, now. Say you fight and war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. Can we have it in NLT? Say you lost. NLT verse 2. You want what you don't have. You want what you don't have. Why do you want what you don't have? There are some things we will not have. Hello. There are some things we will not what? Have. Like for instance, I don't have any physical brother or physical sister. No, I have a stepbrother somewhere. Eh? What? I don't have, yes, blood brothers. Yes, thank you, sir. I don't have blood brothers or sisters. I don't have. What can I do about it? Spite those ones who have? Or fight you that you have? No. I just have to be content with what I have. At least I have myself. Am I alive and well? Yes, I have myself. I don't have a male child. But I'm content with the females that God has blessed me with. Sometimes you look at yourself and it is what you don't have that you see in other people that causes problem within you. But what you have is more than what you are seeing. You have God. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the promises of God. And those ones are far, 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 far more than not those things that you now begin to fight over. And you know what? We lose the value of what we have because we don't even appreciate them. We lose sight of what we have and begin to look for what we don't have. There can only be one HOD per time. Is that not so? When you have two HODs, is it possible? It's not possible. There can only be one person in charge in some places. So why don't you look at where you are? What can I do where I am? What do I have? It will amaze you if you allow God to help you see and appreciate what you have and know what to do with what you have instead of going about what you don't have. Saul had the whole kingdom under him. He had the soldier under him. But he didn't appreciate that. What he did not have was that conquest, the glory that came to David by killing Goliath. And that's what he wanted. Whereas for 40 days, the Bible said they were just going around. Esobe. Thank God that God sent David to deliver them. He did not appreciate that. See, you want what you don't have. And so we scheme and kill to get it. We become schemers. We call it strategy. You know, all kinds of words that we have. So we plan and, you know, it's interesting. You find, especially in polygamous setting, this one will corner the children of this one. You know, maybe there are 3-4 idigis. You understand? 4 wives in the family. So the wife of the second and the last, the children will come together to plot against. If it's happening in the world, fine. We would be the one to preach love to them and preach the gospel. It shouldn't be amongst us. It says we scheme and kill, plan, we lie, we cheat, we do all kinds of things. It should not be. God will help us in the name of Jesus. He said, you are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. To take it away from them. Why? It's not necessary. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Because why is it not necessary? God has plan. He has purpose for your life as a child of God. And all you need to do is to align yourself with your Father and find out, what do you want me to do? What's going on in my life? Not fighting others. And he said something that is very interesting. He said, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. He brought in prayer. Because in the time of your conversation, time of prayer with God, those are the things that you can bring up with God. God, I thought that. And God will speak to you. Oh, I'm feeling this way. You know, we get so religious. Some unbelievers can be so real and tell God, God, I feel like doing this. So, God, why now? You know? But when we have a religious attitude, even in prayers, like that Pharisee, he went before God and said, God, I thank thee because I'm not a sinner. I fast. I give tithes. I'm not like those. But you know, the sinner, I went before God and said, God, you know me, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. I would say that man went home justified more than that one that came with an attitude. Those issues in our hearts, those are the things that God expects us to bring out in place of prayer. And sort it out between us and our Father. Say, you don't have. And you know, the reason why we can't take some of those things is because we know that they are actually wrong in the first place. That's what the next verse says, verse 3. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. And God is not going to be a party to that. That you want what you want just because of pleasure, just because of glory. Awalawambe. You know, that kind of thing. God does not, it doesn't go with God. So you can't, even if you ask God, hey, I'm supposed to be this, I'm supposed to be that, you know. He says, well, even if you ask, if you plot, if you scheme, you take it before God. You know, there's ways that, you know, you leave the real matter. I don't know about you. You have something that the Holy Spirit is talking about in one corner, but you push it aside and you say, God, Father, in the name of Jesus, That's when you pray louder so that your spirit, your conscience will not, you want to silence that conscience. But God is saying, hey, go ahead. Say all the prayers. Say all what you want to say. But I'm not giving it because your motives are all wrong. Why do you want what you want? Why do you want? Why do you want what you desire, what you are desiring? Why do you want? You know, those times you say, I want a male child. I want a male child so that it will keep the name of the family. And after you are gone, do you know what happens after? You don't know. So why are you worrying about what you don't even have control over? What you don't know, what you will not be aware of, it will be so meaningless, so useless when it comes to eternal matters. Oh, I want to become the first leader. Fine, good. But why do you want it? Why? Is it to glorify God? Is it because God said, this is what I want you to do? Or just to be able to show off? Show off and oppress people. It's interesting in our nation. When people want a particular title or a particular position, it's because of the specs. It's because of what they're going to enjoy. The specs of the office. Oh, I will have a car. I will have a driver. That God can provide for you without you becoming the HOD. Or becoming the director, or becoming what? Whatever. That God can provide for you if you need it. So it's not a matter of the position. It's a matter of what you want to achieve. People don't think about what are we going to do. Our politicians don't think about what they're going to do. Yes, they may be unbelievers, but not believers. If you are seeking a position, seeking an office, seeking to be relevant in your family, not the way all those prophets and not that kind of, before they speak, before they will take any decision in your family, if you are not there, God will raise you. All those prayer points. And I'm like asking myself, in a church where you have two brothers, like now, Professor Kende is here, and his junior brother is here, they are in the same family. And both of them are praying. I must become relevant in my family before they do any family meeting. If I'm not there, it should not hold. Sherry will allow to share. And they are in the same place, praying the same thing. Even if you are not in the same place, can you imagine? What for? what for? As far as I'm concerned, Bomo wa kimi. You know, that's some. We should learn to enjoy our lives, even as we are getting older. Looking for this, we're driving around our neighborhood. Solomon said, "Mommy, that's the chairman of the area CDA." I said, "I don't know him. Who is he?" He said, "That's the chairman of the northern part of our area. That there is another chairman for the south. And how many houses are in the south? How many houses are in the north?" But it's interesting, people will fight to become. What's the motive? And you know, God is after the heart so much. We can deceive people with our actions, but we can't deceive God with our motives. Because God sees the motives. God sees the heart. People can look at you from outside. Oh, Jesus, blah, blah, blah. But what's going on inside? So let's check ourselves. Those are the things that would disturb our progress in life. These are the things that would hinder us. These are the things that will make unbelievers to cast evil eye on our Jesus, to think about, and they call themselves Jesus. Because some unbelievers can be better. That's why when you go to Western nations, they are cool, they are calm. They just run their life. Some of them, they are not after anything. But here we want. I know in Africa, that's what we praise. But we are first of all believers, not Africans. If we've got it, you must show it. Flaunt it. But our hearts. And Bible says, if our hearts don't deceive us, then we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive. Such things will debar you, will limit you. Yes, you know, in spite of that, we still see the hands of God, the blessings of God. But how much more when our hearts are purified? And that's the next thing. We can't go on, my time is up. The next thing, it says, you adulterers. I mean, when I saw that, I was like, God, calling us adulterers. And what's adulterers? Somebody that is already married to one and having an affair with another. We are already married to Jesus. We are already children of God. So don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. We will not become enemies of God in the name of Jesus. Says, what do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the spirit God has placed within us is filled with envy? God is jealous over us. He doesn't want to share us with the world. He doesn't want those kind of things, envy, jealousy, you know, slander, to be inside of us. He wants us to himself and wholly to himself. Next verse. It says, but he gives grace, even more grace, to stand against such evil desires. So when those evil desires and thoughts, they come to us, those are the things that we take to God. God, no. We renounce them, we reject them. No, I'm not going to. And you know, when I find myself in such situation, immediately I do the opposite of what the enemy is suggesting. That person, I begin to pray for them. I pray for that person immediately, on purpose. I leave my own prayer point and pray for that person. Pray for their children, that God, they will prosper. Your plan, your purpose would be established in their lives. And devil doesn't want you praying for anybody. So he will leave you alone. He will leave you alone. And that's where the grace to stand against such. That's how it is released. And you talk to God about it, God. And, you know, he says the scriptures that God opposes the proud but favors the humble. We must be humble enough to accept God's plan and purpose for our lives and appreciate God where we are. That's part of being humble. It's not just about, you know, how we relate with ourselves, but before God, to be humble enough to say, Father, you have said this is wrong. I accept it. It's wrong. I'm going to stand against it. You have said envy is wrong. I accept it. Jealousy is wrong. I accept it. And I look up to you to lift me up. That's what it says. It says God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. Verse 7. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Until we have done verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, we can't resist the devil. And that's why the devil will take hold in our lives, will operate in our lives. Because where there's envy and jealousy, Bible says there will be all kinds of evil works. In James chapter 3, I think verse 16 or 17, it says, wherever there's envy, there's jealousy, there'll be all manners of evil works. That's where the devil wants to stay and build camp. And when he comes with all kinds of problems beyond the position, the desires that you had. He will come and scatter everything. So you say, so humble yourselves before God. Humble yourself and say, Father, I know you have plans for me. And I'm content. I'm content with your plans for my life. I'm content with the progress I've made thus far. Appreciate God. That's when thanksgiving will begin to spring forth from your heart. Because you're appreciating God. And you're not looking and comparing yourself with this, with that. Bible says they that compare themselves with others, they are not wise. But if you need to compare yourself with anything, compare yourself with God's plan and purpose for your life. How far am I running my race? That's real humility. How far am I going in the race of life that God has put before me? That's it. And God says, he will lift you up in due time. When God lifts you up, I was talking with her overnight. She said, Professor Kennedy said something years ago, and it has stuck to her. That when you jump up, you are coming down. But when you grow up, you will stay up. The honor that comes for men, it doesn't last. So I hope you know. You know, we do eye service a lot for the sake of what we want to get. For the sake of, you know, whatever. But when God honors you, that's why Christ said to them, all of you, seek honor among yourself. I only seek the honor that comes from God. And when God honors you, that's real honor. And it's a permanent honor. Let's go after that. Let's go after what God will do in our lives rather than fighting and allowing envy and jealousy to stop us. And then we'll be able to resist the devil concerning our finance, concerning our health, concerning our children, concerning our life. We'll be able to say no. Like Christ said, he said, the evil one has come, but he has nothing in me. No landing ground in me that I can take hold of and say, yes, this one belongs to me. But the fruit of the Spirit are growing and expanding in our lives. Let's lift up our hands and just thank him. Let's thank him. Bible says we are changed from glory to glory as we appear before him. We are changing from glory to glory, from glory to glory. God is washing us by the water of his word. Say, Father, I receive your word this morning. I receive your word. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your word. Help me to apply it and to apply it well. Whether now or later, say, Father, help me to apply. Let me to walk in the truth in the name of Jesus. Help me to walk in this truth. Help me to walk in this truth. And can we lift up our hands and thank God and appreciate God for where we are, where you are in life now, where you are, where you are, where you are. Thank God and appreciate God. Thank him and appreciate him. Thank him and appreciate him. I say, Father, I'm content. I'm content. I'm contented in your plan, in your purpose for my life. I thank you for where you have placed me. I know that I belong to you, and you have plan. Bible says the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. I believe in your plan, in your purpose for me, in your love for me. And I know you are taking me to places. You are establishing me. You are prospering me. You are causing me to be in health more than ever before. I refuse envy. I refuse jealousy. I refuse bitterness. I refuse strife taking hold of my heart in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I will amend my ways in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I'll be a model of a believer, showing the love and sharing the love of Christ wherever I find myself in the name of the Lord Jesus. My life will not be an embarrassment to you, but rather it will bring glory and honor to your name. Blessed be your name, our Father.